although the subject matter is from away.
Yes.
It's pretty much an all Maine show, isn't it? Maine.
Yep, it is. The only my director of photography is from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, but everybody else, all my cast, crew, are all Mainers.
Mm-hmm. Did you make a conscious decision for it to be a Maine only production?
I didn't. Originally, we had talked about that every year there's the Society for Creative Anachronism holds a big war where everybody dresses up in military gear in Pennsylvania. We were actually going to shoot the final battle scene. They have 25,000 soldiers. And then they'd agreed to let us do it. And then through their voting process, they eventually said we couldn't do it anyway. So then we were like, well, it's all Maine then, but I was willing to go do that. Yeah. But the actors, I didn't do a casting call. I literally asked everyone that I wanted, I asked, and every one of them said yes. Huh. So everybody in the film was my first choice, which I feel blessed by, but they're all some of the top physical comedic actors in the state of Maine. So, and I just happen to work with them. So
I remember when you were a couple of years ago when you were sending out messages for extras for battle scenes. Yes, and how did that go? Was that a challenge?
It was. And of course, what we had to do is because at one point we were looking for, men between the ages of, 18 and 30. And we were looking for, and of course, you get what you can. And then after a while, we were getting people signing on and realizing we're not getting enough. So then we said, we will take anybody. And then luckily we're a comedy. So we wrote that into the script because Richard's army gets – in the real story, one of his commanders gets bribed by the enemy and they leave with half the army and take most of the arsenal. So Richard sort of left with a ragtag army. So and then Richmond, who he's fighting against, actually had fled to France where he raised an army. So we bring it into the story that – everybody got who they could get, and it's men, women, it's everybody. Mm. And so we really both had these two ragtag armies, which was really fun.
Well, the funding challenges of filming in Maine, you hear a little bit about the incentives aren't as good here as in many other places.
It's six, I think it's 6% where like if you were to go to Canada, it's 25 to 35%. And once Canada did that, it killed the film market in the state.
But you decided to do it here, though, despite
that. I did decide to do it. I mean, for me, it's like – it's one of those things where it's like when you – it balances itself out because of the funding challenges that you have. You go, well, I can work locally where I have more control as a producer to get locations like Fort Popham in Phippsburg or the former St. Patrick's Church in Lewiston. We got those locations for free. And just through the connections and people that I know and people helped get those places, we didn't have to pay for them. But if we had gone out of state, we'd have to pay for, hotels and meals. And this way we could shoot a lot in state and provide our own. So it made it actually more affordable to do it.
Let's talk about the genesis of this. It goes back quite a while. Well, it goes back to 1483.
But... Yes, that's exactly right.
Why did you – I mean, Shakespeare wrote comedies.
Yes.
Why did you pick Richard III?
Well, it's
which is
funny,
not a comedy originally.
I'm not kidding. I was doing a tour with a friend of mine in Germany back in 97, and we were supposed to do like 14 shows, and we ended up only doing 5 when we got over there. So we found ourselves sitting in hotels for hours, waiting around, or days actually. So we ended up watching a lot of movies, and a friend of mine said, hey, have you ever seen Looking for Richard? It's a documentary by Al Pacino about doing Shakespeare and Americans doing Shakespeare and all this. And it was really cool. And it was really honestly because everybody knows a horse, my kingdom for a horse, or now is the winter of our discontent. And I find most people don't know anything in between. They don't know the rest of the story. And so I was one of those. I knew Macbeth. I knew Hamlet. I knew, Romeo and Juliet. But this was where my first this story is an amazing story. It's a wonderful story. But my natural inclination is how can I make that funny? Because we'd done a comedic version of A Christmas Carol. We'd done, that's what I do. And this story where you have a character that talks to the camera all the time is something we know now in modern times of
voiceovers.
But the actor himself actually talking to the camera was, I'm blanking on the film, Ferris Bueller. Bueller, talked to the film. But Shakespeare invented that where the lead actor tells you things that nobody else is picking up on. And that's a very comedic thing. That's a very great opportunity. So I use that like crazy in this film because Richard's constantly talking to the audience and he's getting caught talking to the audience. So people are constantly going, who are you talking?
Oh, right.
And he gets to play with
there's
that.
There's a bit in the bit. Film when his cohort comes up and says,
exactly.
Who are you talking to?
Exactly. Who is he talking to? So, and that happens throughout the film. Like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
But the idea really started to generate, like I said, I saw that in 95, 97. And it just sort of was percolating. And I just, I, you know, I eventually went out and I bought the full collection of Shakespeare and I read all of Richard III. And I was starting to get every movie I could on it and watching it and just starting to, in my back of my head, starting to go, there's really, Mad Margaret is so wonderfully insane. How can we play with that? And I just started to, you know, make little notes and things. And then Matthew Tardy, who plays Buckingham in the film, he and I got together and wrote the stage version of it. So we did that at the Oddfellow Theater in 2005. And I was petrified a little bit because I knew I wanted to do it. But I was like, people that don't like Shakespeare are going to get scared off. I was like, they won't come because they think it's Shakespeare. Mm. People that love Shakespeare may not want to see a comedy of it. Mm. But it turned out to be absolutely one of the most successful shows that we ever did there. We had to keep adding shows. The Phoenix, Portland Phoenix came up and did a great article. I did a whole review on it and just loved it. So I knew it was the right thing. So from 2005 to 2011, I was just like, this is so perfectly a film. It's one of those things I want to do. And then 2011, I just said, I'm doing it.
And now 3 years later, it's not actually the premiere. It's the first cut.
It's the first cut, okay, right. Yeah. So and that's the other thing. As a stage performer, I'm so used to I write material sometimes quickly and get it in front of an audience. My way is I write it quickly, get it on stage as quickly as I can to get a reaction. One of my favorite directors was Tony Montanaro, who started the Celebration Barn Theater in South Paris. I studied with him for many years, and his thing was, he said, you're never going to get a better director than the audience because they're honest. Directors have agendas. You know, your friends might not want to tell you the truth, but an audience won't lie. So ever since I was a young kid performing, I always knew I could trust my audiences. If they liked it, if they consistently liked it, I knew. Or if I could tweak. So
you'll see how the audience reacts this weekend.
This weekend, and then, we have 428 people for the first time seeing this film. There's only been five people, and actually nobody, including me at this point, has seen the final uh-huh. version. I'll see that today. We're doing a proof watch of it. But, you know, I'll see it fully color corrected and all the sound, all the music in place and everything. So.
Richard III, a controversial figure from history, of course, yes. a divisive figure. In England today, people argue about was he good, was he bad?
Exactly.
Some said he was a good monarch.
Yep.
Shakespeare and others portray him as a physically deformed Machiavellian rogue who possibly murdered his nephews.
Right.
I'm assuming you go more with that characterization.
Absolutely. And that is also what lends itself to fun. You think like really great comedic bad guys are so much fun to play. And obviously I get to play him. And the secret truth is that I had developed a hunchback character back in 92 that I've performed ever since as like this crazy, he's very much, he believes he's beautiful. So he doesn't, you know, he has rotten teeth. Mm. My character's balding with a hunch and wears burlap. And I'd done him for many years. So that was also a natural reason why I wanted to do him as a comedy, because I'm like a hunchback king. I already have this great hunchback character. Yeah. And what you'll see on the film is actually a sort of an amalgam of the two. It's more Richard. But Richard as this maniacal guy is such a fun – it's such a fun character, and he's so bad. What he does is he looks at the camera and says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. And then after he does it, he's like, to see what I did there? It's just so – like and that's where the art of Shakespeare, I think, is that he always had that. I think he always had that in him. But he's such a in the real story, he's such a dark character.
Why the bad teeth? You're not kind of reinforcing a British stereotype.
No. Well, again, that was my character. Yeah. He was just like, I tried to make him as grotesque as I possibly could. You know, tried to make the original hunchback character. And so he always had the teeth and the hunch and. Richard's actually a little bit better put together than my guy, but yeah, exactly.
Well, many thanks for coming in, Mike.
Thank you so much. It's a delight.